like a poet who is able to put words to the way we feel. The psalmist is able to capture the words on the tip of our tongues when we cannot articulate them ourselves, helping us talk about what is sacred. As the psalmist says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." That our search for meaning, our longing for purpose, our need to belong, finally finds its rest in the presence of God. As the psalmist says, God is our hope. God is our rock. God is our salvation. God is our fortress. God is our deliverance. God is our refuge. It is all the many different ways the psalmist is trying to say, God is love. And there are few sentences more influential than a sentence that begins, God is, fill in the blank. And perhaps the most powerful one of them all is the sentence that says, God is love. But as good as that sentence sounds, what happens when it feels like too much? It is the most beautiful sentence in this world, but it is also the most challenging because it includes everybody. Friend, stranger, and enemy. In his story, Pray Without Ceasing, Wendell Berry describes this scene after a horrible crime. Ben Feltner had been murdered. Thad Coulter was sitting alone in a prison cell, awaiting prosecution and hanging his head in utter shame that he could not wrap his head around this awful thing that he had done. It was a scene full of pain, regret, and suffering. And Barry writes, people sometimes talk of God's love as if it is a pleasant thing, but it is terrible in a way. Think of all it includes. It included Thad Coulter, drunk, mean, and foolish before he killed Mr. Felter, and it included him afterwards. Now, love is not terrible, but it can be terrifying because it stretches us beyond our imagination, which is exactly what happened to the prophet Jonah. That Jonah was a failed prophet. He ignored his convictions. He ran from his calling, and his story stretches us beyond our imaginations, and not because it says Jonah was swallowed up by a fish. That Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, the harshest city in the known world. It was the capital of Assyria, a bully that terrorized every other region and state. It dominated the landscape through threats and violence. Assyria was the primary enemy of the time of the people of God. And Jonah was called to go to Nineveh to proclaim a message of love and justice, giving the people an opportunity for repentance and forgiveness. So Jonah runs the other way. And if we were standing beside him, we might say, "Hey, wait for me." He tried to go to Tarshish, as far west as he could imagine in the known world, when he had been called to go east. And there in Joppa, he got into a boat, which almost capsized because of this terrible storm. So he jumps overboard in an effort to save everybody else still on the boat. And then after 3 days of confinement, he emerges to finally go to Nineveh, the heart of his enemy. It was quite the journey. But the longer journey might have been from Jonah's anger to God's love. For once, Jonah proclaimed a message of justice and love. The Assyrians embraced repentance, and they received forgiveness. And finally, Jonah admits out loud why he ran the other way, saying, "I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing." That Jonah did not want the Assyrians to receive forgiveness. That love has a way of stretching us. Like where it says in the book of Proverbs, if your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. Or where Jesus says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? The love of neighbor, the love of stranger, the love of enemy stretches us beyond our imagination. That love is beautiful, but it is also challenging. Fred Rogers was not only Mr. Rogers, but also an ordained minister. And one of his professors in seminary, Bill Orr, who taught theology, used to say, "Evil is the accuser." It's one of those ways in which Scripture refers to the tempter or the devil, the accuser. Bill Orr would say, "Evil will do anything to make you feel as bad as you possibly can about yourself. Because if you feel the worst about who you are, you will undoubtedly look with evil eyes on your neighbor, and you will get to believe the worst about him or her." He said, "Accuse yourself. Accuse your neighbor. Get your neighbor to accuse somebody else, and the evil spreads and thrives." Jesus, on the other hand, is the advocate. And Jonah had a choice, as we do. to be an accuser or to be an advocate. That if we see ourselves as forgiven, we are called to be an advocate, which does not abandon the need for justice, because justice is always in service of forgiveness. It calls us to repentance. But if we see ourselves as accused, we are quick to condemn others. And we are never just one or the other. We always live in tension between them both, because we always have the choice in front of us to either be an advocate or an accuser, time and time again. Martin Niemöller was a pastor who was imprisoned in one of Hitler's concentration camps, an evil we cannot fathom. But at first, he supported Hitler. He saw Hitler's enemies as his enemies. But eventually he would write, "It took me a long time to learn that God is not the enemy of my enemies. God is not even the enemy of God's enemies." That God does not abandon the need for justice. But if we can imagine that God does not have enemies, we discover a new depth and width to the love of God in this world. I suppose we do not have the same decision that Jonah did, at least on the scale that Jonah did. But we all have smaller enemies where we have to wade through our resentment, frustration, or anger. In the wake of a disagreement or argument, after a misunderstanding or miscommunication, because of a single critical moment or an ongoing long history, or as a result of a personality conflict, hurt feelings or clashing perspectives, or due to personal disappointment or selfishness. It could be for many reasons. But we have before us a choice: to be an accuser or to be an advocate, which Jonah reminds us is quite the journey. That it is, as Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "I know that I have an easier time loving humankind than I do loving particular people." That the idea of loving others is much easier than loving the person in front of us. That Jonah knew. He held the conviction. It is why he worshiped God, knowing that God was gracious and merciful. But then he was called to love a particular people, which we all know is much harder to do. that we may never be called to go to Nineveh, but we have opportunities each and every week to draw the circle of our lives wide enough to include the challenge of God's love. Because for God alone, who is love, do our souls wait in silence. Amen.